The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Good morning.
Children are dismissed.
Well, as the kids go, let me just tell you a little bit about us and who are these people that are here. And Dave Weigel is the one that invited us to come. We've known Dave through Global Legacy, meets down in Rochester. So we've met Dave for several years down there and talked with him down there. And it's wonderful to be here at Living Waters because we've known about Living Waters for a long time. We know and love several people in this congregation, and so it feels like we're just at home with some friends this morning. Gary and I have a ministry called Dare to Believe that's down in Burnsville. Han, we've been way down south to Burnsville, yeah? And we've been there. We've actually been ministering in that area for, it's almost 30 years, which sounds so weird, doesn't it? Sounds weird. But not with Dare to Believe. We were at a church called Hosanna. I was officially on staff as one of the senior leaders. Gary is full-time in the marketplace. But we minister together. And so about 6 or 7 years ago, about 10 years ago, the Lord started to talk to us about moving on and doing other things, and not changing what we did, but changing the scope of what we did because, he loves the kingdom, doesn't he? It's about bringing kingdom to earth, heaven to earth. And I had grown up in the church and saw the church kind of as the end game. And the church is so important. The church is vital to what God's doing on this earth, but it's not the end of what he wants to do. He wants to bring the kingdom to earth, not just to the church, to the earth. And I, how when you get stuck and you don't know you're stuck, God will push you beyond that stuckness, whether you know what you're doing or not. And he was pushing us beyond the walls of the church in many different ways. And so he pushed us out, and we're still in relationship with the church. It was Hosanna. I don't know if you've ever heard of Hosanna in Lakeville. And that's where I was on senior leadership. And when we joined Hosanna, it was 1,000 people. And when we left, it was 6,500. So it was a wild ride during that time of growth and increase. And so we saw the Lord do great things. And, you know, when you see the Lord do great things, you think, oh, that's probably all we're going to see. And that's good enough, right? But there's never the end with the Lord. So I know that in Elk River, I don't even know the whole of the story of what's gone on here, but I know the Lord's moving in Elk River and the Lord's moving in this church. And you've seen some amazing things, but you haven't seen anything yet. He's moving in great things. And so let him push you on towards outside of the borders that we've put on ourselves. It was a Lutheran church. I was an ordained Lutheran minister. You know, I grew up Missouri Synod Lutheran, and I love that church because I learned about the Lord. I learned about the Bible. I learned to love the Lord. But the Holy Spirit, we kept him locked very safely in the creed, and we let him out a little bit. But if things got messy, he went right back in there. I mean, it was just not okay. And that's what I grew up being comfortable with. And then the Lord brought me to this church and put me in leadership, and I, as a woman, thought I couldn't be in leadership, and the Lord continued to put me into leadership, and that was a struggle in me to say, yeah, I can do that, it's okay. And then, anyway, that's a long story. And then the Holy Spirit came. We did a course called the Alpha Course. Are you guys familiar with the Alpha Course? And we thought we understood Holy Spirit. You know, we're prayer people, we moved in things of the Lord, but Holy Spirit showed up. When we said, come Holy Spirit, he comes, doesn't he? And so I'm the pastor in charge of adult education and prayer. And so the Holy Spirit came, and people started prophesying and having dreams and doing all this crazy stuff. And it was my job to teach them how to do that. Well, who taught me in the Lutheran seminary how to do that? I mean, it wasn't what we learned there. And so I went looking for the best I could find that was very biblical, that was important to me. And I found John Paul Jackson. How many of you have heard of John Paul Jackson? Yeah. Yeah, so we found his material. We brought his material and then his team and then eventually John Paul to Hosanna and released that. And we have been in relationship with John Paul for quite a while now. I couldn't even tell you how many years, 15 or so, 20 years. Actually, our son, who is now 25, was 13 at that point. You know, confirmation is a big deal in the Lutheran church, right? So Sam had just been confirmed. Sam's very prophetic. And he's one of those young people that, when the Lord pours out his gifts on the young people, and he pours them out on everybody. But when people are, the young people are moving in these gifts and very prophetic, and they can see in the spiritual realm, the enemy tries to bully them, right? To shut down that gift, because he's very intimidated by the young people who can prophesy. He's intimidated by people who can prophesy and see in the spirit, but young people especially. And so at that age, this is when this is all happening in our life, and we're going to go to Chicago and take one of these courses and see if it was good before we brought it back to the church, right? And Sam went with us. He's 13. He didn't go with us really willingly, but we didn't leave him much of an option, and he went, and we made it fun for him and went to Chicago and went to this course, and it was 2.5 days solid of teaching and activating. And Sam, at 13, said, if they would have taught me that in confirmation, I would have wanted to stay and do it. And that's what I would have wanted. You know, so a kid that age could sit through that. Because, you know, our people, our church, the people in general, not just in the church, but are hungry for the real things of God. And, you know, as Bob was saying, how many of you have dreams? And some of you don't have dreams and might not think about coming to a course on how to do dreams, and we're not doing a whole course, but we're going to do 2 nights tonight and then next week. And what I want to tell you is, if you aren't dreaming, first of all, I want to tell you, you are dreaming, but if you aren't remembering your dreams and you aren't tuned into your dreams, you come to a course like this, you will start to understand your dreams. You'll start to dream more. You'll start to remember your dreams more. It just happens to people all the time. I've seen it over and over and over now that we've been doing this. I also want to ask you to pray for me and for our family. I'm heading to India in about 2.5 weeks, and I was invited from John Paul to go on the trip because he was going to go there in Mumbai, and he's been there before, and we're going to be teaching. We've taught pastors about these things. Now we're going to be teaching pastors to teach their people about hearing the voice of God and understanding dreams and visions. And it's exciting. You know, I'm like, man, I get to go to India with John Paul Jackson. That's awesome. Yes, I'll go. You know, that's wonderful. We're going to go. Well, John Paul's visa was denied. And we're like, well, God's bigger than that. Of course, India's going to let him in because we declare it and we pray it. Well, it was denied a second time. So we're heading in 2.5 weeks, and John Paul is not going with us. So R.T. Kendall was already going on the trip. Do you guys know R.T. Kendall? He's a theologian. He's on the board of directors. So we're going to teach this to pastors, do a John Paul Jackson conference without John Paul Jackson. So please keep us in prayer. It's the Lord's moving in this. The Lord wants people to know how to hear God's voice in a new and fresh way. Even if you're having dreams and visions, there's more. And so please keep that in prayer. But I think what's going on here is just a microcosm of what God's doing around the world. Because life is a prophetic act. You know that? What you're walking out, you're releasing as you go. What you're living through, you're releasing. We have been through a season of going, expanding Gary and I have what we're walking in. And, you know, you think that you've gone far, God stretched you a lot. How many feel like God stretched you a lot already? Yeah, I know I felt God stretched me way a lot already, but he's always got more if you're willing to step out and trust him more on a new level. And Gary is full-time in the marketplace and full-time in ministry, so he's doing kind of both and doing a lot in the workplace. And about, I'd say it's probably 15 years ago, as things were really moving in our lives and we're stepping out into new things. Things had gotten kind of rough at Gary's workplace. You know how things change in the marketplace. Different management moves in and things change. And he had gotten very stressed out. They were putting more and more work on him, and he was miserable. He wasn't doing well, and they were not being very honorable to him or to other employees, and it was just a really tough, tough situation. And I was getting ready to go to do a retreat, and a prayer leader in a retreat, and the Lord, I was brushing my teeth. I remember brushing my teeth, and the Lord said, tell Gary that he's not the provider of this family. And I said, well, Lord, he knows that. And he said, I want you to say it to him. Because, you know, guys, you know that, right? You're not the provider, but do you ever feel the burden of providing for your family? It's a hard burden. And so that was weighing on Gary besides everything else. And so I said that to him, and he just looked at me funny. You know, it's like we've had this discussion. He knows that, but he looked at me funny. And he dropped me off at the retreat, drove me there, and left me there for a few days and came back and picked me up. And it was Sunday night, and he said, I've decided I'm giving my notice in the morning. And I'm like, well, that's not what I meant. You know, we have two children, and I was working at the church, but I was not taking benefits from the church. So, like, this, you know, that puts me in a very uncomfortable place. You know, are you sure? Yeah, I'm sure. So he gave his notice in the morning. And they provided him a beautiful, an amazing severance package. When you quit a job, you usually don't get a really good severance package, do you? You know, but it doesn't, it didn't used to be that way. Maybe it's starting to happen that way now because the Lord's being honorable to people. But so they gave him this wonderful severance package. He got another position, started working in that position, worked there for 2 years, and the company that he left changed management because they knew what was going on. The Lord cleaned some things up. They recruited my husband back to come back to that company because they knew he was a good man, an honorable man, and they knew he carried things of the Lord and he shared things of the Lord. Well, so that happened 15 years ago. And so then the same company, he's back there, and about a year and a half, 2 years ago, it got bought out by a conglomerate, and the conglomerate was cutting and dicing, and what had been done by, I don't know how many people were on your team when you started. 10 people came down to Gary and two others. Yeah, and it was like, it was like, you're not keeping up. And Gary, and they were being dishonoring, not just to him, again, but to the employees. And Gary is a very big advocate in management for the people who work there, that either, both ways, you know, either way, you're going to honor. He knows how to walk in honor, and that's going to be what he, you know, and that isn't always easy, is it? Especially in a worldly place. This is not a Christian company, so to speak. It's the Lord's company. It's a kingdom company, right? But they don't really recognize the Lord as the Lord of that company. And so around Easter time, the Lord told Gary, yeah, you can leave. You're released. And so again, like, you know, he's not as young as he was 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make logical sense to do that. And so he gave his notice. And he had to give it twice because the first time his boss didn't really get it. Like, no, I'm leaving. And they're like, you wouldn't do that? Yeah, I am. And then they said, okay, well, will you do it? Will you help us transition your placement? Because, you know, everything's on him now. I mean, all the stuff that was done by this whole department of people is basically being done by him. And so, okay, he said, yeah, I'll do that. But he wasn't looking forward to it because he's putting in 80-hour weeks and he's going to be looking for a job, and you know how that goes. So he wasn't looking forward to it, but, you know, he was ready to be done. The Lord had released him. So we, at that point, went to the Leaders Advance in Redding, out in California. And when you go to the Leaders Advance, after you're given the notice, you get prophetic words. Have any of you ever been to the Leaders Advance out in Redding? They've got prophetic teams, and you sit, and they prophesy over you. And as a couple, they prophesied over us. And so we went there, and we're with these two women, and actually there's two women and a young guy. I think there are three people. And one of the women looks at Gary and goes, oh, you've just been promoted. You've got a promotion coming, right? And he smiled because he knew that's what it was. You know, with the Lord, there's always promotion. Even when it doesn't feel like it, there's always promotion, right? All right, that's a good word. And lots of other things they said. And then the same lady looked at him after about a few minutes of prophesying and said, you know what? That promotion's already happened. And we're like, no, we don't get that because we don't know what's going on. But that's good. And, we're, you know, you receive it without understanding it. So he went home. That's on a Thursday. He went home and went back to work on Monday getting ready to do this big transition. And they said, well, we just took this to the conglomerate people while you were away. And they decided, we don't do that. They said, we don't do that. We don't transition. That guy's done. And so they said, you pack up your stuff and you go today. And Gary's like, score, I'm out of here, I can look for a job. And they gave him a big severance package, really good severance package. And he got everything and was blessed, but didn't have to help transition, which is sad for the people that were left behind and had to do the job. But he stayed in contact with them. So we're thinking, this is going to be a breeze. This is early May. This is going to be a breeze. God's got a position for him, right? It's going to be easy. And so we even went and talked to some friends of ours who are Christian, who are pastors, who are leaders, and a little older than we are. And they're like, you did what, Gary? You know that you don't leave a job at your age without having another job. I mean, they just said this to him. And he didn't miss a step. He said, no, the Lord told me. The Lord told me. So when you know what the Lord has said, it gives you peace. It gives you courage. It gives you confidence, right? So that's in May, and he starts applying for jobs, and he hadn't really had to get his resume together for a long time, and things have changed, right? And so he's got to get his LinkedIn update. He doesn't know LinkedIn. He's got to learn how to do it. He's got all kinds of things. He works on his resume. He gets things going, applies for jobs, and not much is coming in, but that's okay. It's summer in Minnesota, and he's got a severance package, and then he's got unemployment. We're doing good. I'm feeling peaceful, and he applies for a job that he fits like a glove in Minneapolis, and they're very interested in him. And they interviewed him over the phone a couple times, and they're like, "You are perfect for what we need." And our president, we're going to make an appointment for you to come in and interview with our president, but you are exactly what we need. That's great. That's great. So they hung up, and then they called him back and said, "You know what? We forgot to ask you. What year did you graduate from high school?" Which is a totally illegal thing to ask, but what do you do? And so he told them, and they said, "Okay, thanks." That's the last he heard from that company. And so, you know, he's like, "Okay, God's got something better." And I'm like, "Oh, this is kind of scary." And so then we just start praying. "Lord, you said we believe. We believe what you said. This is good." And he applied for a job in the western suburbs, I don't know, Chanhassen or Chaska or one of those, I don't remember exactly where it was. And again, a great fit. This time he went in for a couple interviews, and I think maybe even three interviews. They love him. That's great. Then they're talking with him, and the HR person came back to him and said, "You know, I think I was at Stout the same years you were at Stout." He went to college at Stout. "What years were you there?" Same question, only Matt, like, okay, what is with this? So he told them. That was the end of that conversation. And so, like, all right, this is not right. So we're learning about justice and the king, you know, God's justice. "Lord, what do you want?" And the Lord said, "Well, why are you just praying for a job? Why don't you pray for a job? Ask me for a job where they want what he carries and he has crazy favor." That's a good prayer. So we started to say, "Well, good idea, Lord. We just call in a job where they want what Gary carries. They want him. They don't care how old he is. They want him, and he's got crazy favor." And that job came in, and I don't remember when you started. September? Yeah. With better pay, better benefits, better everything. An increase. Increase. But we had to trust God. And in the midst of all that, Gary didn't really lose a step, but I'm saying, well, maybe you need to just settle for less money. Maybe you need to settle for a different job. You know, maybe you need to not do what you were doing before, because it's really hard in the midst of all of that to know what God's really after, what God's really doing, right? And so what I want to encourage you in is that as we live life with the Lord in this season he has us in, with what's going on in our world, what's going on in the spiritual realm, if we don't know what God's saying, we're going to get ourselves in big trouble. Because we're going to do what we understand, which is much less than what God's doing. We're going to do what we're comfortable with, which is much different than what God's comfortable with. And so I want to encourage you that to allow the Lord to stretch you. And he never stretches you too far. Excuse me. It might feel too far, but he's got you. And he's got your back, and he's a good God. And so how do we find out what he's saying? What I tell people is our life's a prophetic act. So what's he saying? He's saying that there's more. He's saying you can trust him. He's saying he's not a God that downsizes for us. He's a God that increases for us. And it could have been a job with less pay and a lot of things and still been an increase for Gary, an increase in favor, increase, you know, it could have been a lot of things. You never know what God's saying, because it will be different for one person than it is for another. It will be different in this season for you than it was in last season. And unless you know what season God has you in and what God's saying to you, you can make some big mistakes. Now, they're always correctable. Whenever we get off track, the Lord can always put us back on track. But we don't have to, it doesn't have to be that hard. Excuse me. So I explain this to people the way the church has been a little bit afraid of the prophetic, and I know you guys aren't, but the church has. And I tell you what, the Lutheran church I was in trying to release this stuff, they're like, they were wondering, who is this woman who's coming in and talking to us about dreams? Isn't that New Age? Right? Or what is this lady who tells us we can hear from God? I remember a guy sitting down and saying, "So you're telling me that God actually talks?" And I'm like, yeah. He said, I think you belong in an insane asylum, because only place God speaks to people is when they're crazy. And it's so sad. And this is in the, I mean, it's just in the church. And what happened is that we had a senior leader who knew, he knew my heart and he knew me and he trusted me to release this. But, you know, we got 6,000 people and they grew up in a pretty safe environment in the church, not walking in a lot of things of the Lord. And so they were getting into that. But as the Lord sent us out, he released us to release more and not just release to people that were following the Lord. He wanted us to release to people who were following the Lord and wanted what we carried. Does that make sense? So I want you to be asking the Lord, where do you want to send me where people want what I carry? Where people will be blessed what I carry? Where do you want to send me that I'll have crazy favor to do what you put in me to do? Because the Lord didn't put in us to do everything, right? But the Lord put in us to do what he created us to do. And what is that for you? And what is it for you in this season? So if what I explained to people in the church when they were scared about bringing in the prophetic and scared about looking at things a different way, I said, what if I were to tell you the Lord gave me the best big flat screen TV that is available? 60 some inches, right? Biggest thing. Those skinny ones that are available now, you just hang them right on your wall. That's awesome. You'd go, that's great. Yes, it is great. It's an amazing gift, isn't it? And what if I told you that I hung it on the wall, but I can't figure out how to hook this thing up? Because it's kind of complicated. I don't understand how to do all the wiring and set all that stuff up. And besides, you know, there have been bad things shown on TV. Do you know that? And that evil things can come through the TV. So I have decided that that's a nice gift, but I'm going to leave it on the wall. And I'm going to leave it hanging there because it's too hard for me to figure out how to work it. And there's some bad stuff that might come through that. In a similar way, that's what the body of Christ has done with hearing from God and from the gift of understanding dreams. Because God gave us an imagination. The enemy didn't give you your imagination. God created you with the imagination. The ability to see in pictures, to hear and to understand things, it came from the Lord. Now, has the enemy many times hijacked our imaginations? You looked at that men's purity thing. That's the imagination of godly, strong men being hijacked, right? Other ways that hijacking comes, and that is through our imagination. But if you are lined up with the Lord and you declare that I have got the mind of Christ, Jesus is in charge of what comes in here, then you are able to receive what he has to say without being afraid. You're able to wire that TV set. But there is some training that has to be done. How do you handle this well? How do you know if it's the Lord's voice and not the Lord's voice? What do you do if the enemy hijacks you a little bit? How do you get back on track? All those things, we have to be trained on how to use our TV set well, right? But it is a good gift. And we do have to choose how to use that. And so we know that there will be challenges and there will be losses and there will be difficult things, but every loss is temporary with God. Do you know that? The enemy might have stolen something from you, but God restores. God gives justice, and he gives justice with interest. Jesus died for us to have all that God wants for us, and if that is being taken from you or has been stolen from you, then Jesus died so you would get it back. And so we need to learn how to walk in those things in a new way. And part of what is important in all of that is knowing how do you see in the spiritual realm. One of the main things as we begin to move in this at the church I was at was that we realized, you know, sometimes when you see in the spiritual realm, you aren't seeing what's going on in the throne room of God. You're seeing what's going on in the second heaven, which is where both angels and demons are, right? There's a fight going on. The Lord tells us in Ephesians, you don't fight against flesh and blood, but against warriors and principalities and angels in the evil realm, right? That's who we're fighting against. So there is a battle that goes on, and sometimes we see those things, which is not bad. I mean, the Lord sometimes lets us see those things, but then we as Christians don't always know what to do with that. What do I do with that? And so I've watched the church people beat themselves up with that and agree with the enemy. This is what the devil's doing, and give a lot of power and authority and lip service to what the enemy's doing, and forget to mention what's Jesus doing in this situation. And so teaching people how to, all right, this is what the enemy's doing, and thank you, Lord, for letting us see the enemy's strategy. And what do you say about that? What do you say? What's heaven say about that? What's heaven want to release into that situation? Because when we are in God's presence and we are under God's authority, we are never on the defense. We are always on the offense. We're always taking back the territory. Jesus finished that. He played all the defense. He's our defender, but we are taking back the territory the enemy has stolen from people who didn't know how to let God be their defender. And in all of that, we seek a prophet's reward. And what does that mean? It's hard in the body of Christ. You guys know John Maxwell? You guys know who John Maxwell is? He's a pastor, and he has done a lot of leadership development for Christian leaders. Very famous man, written lots of books. And I heard him say once, I am really tired of being a pastor. I don't know if I want to pastor in the church anymore. And I go, okay, that's interesting from a man whose life is raising up leaders in the Christian church. He said, because people are so mean to each other in the church. You know, we don't let each other be everything God created us to be. We make it so hard for each other. And I was really worn out at one point in my life, is what John Maxwell said. And he was out on the East Coast. He had been speaking at something, and he had some days off. So he just went to be at the ocean. And he was watching a crab fisherman pull in the crabs. I don't know if you guys have ever seen crab fishermen, but they have these traps that are kind of round, and they've got a lid on them, and they've got fishnet-type stuff around them, but the lid comes up, and they tie them to ropes, and they throw them out in the ocean, and then they crank the rope in, and a trap will come in, and what the fisherman does is he takes it down, and as Maxwell was watching this, he said sometimes they put the lid down, and sometimes they pick them up, and they just would move them on, and they wouldn't put the lid down. They just would be moving really quickly, trying to get all the traps up on the pier so that they could then get the crabs out and go through all that. And so after all this was going on, he went up to the fisherman. He said, I've been watching you, and do you mind explaining? I'm just curious about some stuff with you. Because I see sometimes you put the lid down on the crab trap, and sometimes you don't. And I don't understand, how do you know when to put the crab top down, and how do you know when to just go ahead and leave it open? He said, oh, that's very simple. If there's one crab in the trap, that crab will crawl up the sides and can get out. And so we need to put the lid down, make sure he stays in the trap. But if there's more than one crab in the trap, when one starts to crawl up, the other ones pull him back down. So I know they won't escape. And, you know, isn't that the way it can be within the body of Christ? That we, instead of allowing each other to be everything God created us to be, because we don't know deep in our hearts that God is good and he's for us and he wants us to succeed and there's a room enough for everybody. This world needs a body that is healed up. We need a body of Christ that's healed up and healthy and succeeding in everything God put in us. But the enemy's strategy is just to keep us jealous of each other or insecure in our own gifts so that if somebody else starts to move in what God has for them, we get scared and so we pull them back down, right? Because we don't think there's enough for all of us. Which is silly. In our heads, we know better than that. But in our hearts, sometimes, we don't know how much God loves us or how good God is for us. We know he's good for everybody, but is he good for me? Will there be a place for me? Is there enough for all of us to be blessed? But Jesus will always work things out for good. And we are learning to pass on some of these victories in new ways to the next generation. It's cool listening to you guys talk about, you know, the next generation of worship leaders, the next generation of kids, and things that have happened before. You know, we are learning how to do that in a new way. It's like we forgot, or we got sidetracked, or the enemy kept our eyes off of all that we could be by being insecure for ourselves. But insecure people find it hard to honor. When the Lord helps us to be secure in who we are, it's a lot easier to honor. I was so blessed the first time I went out to Reading, because I saw people that really walked it out in a way I hadn't seen in the church before. And, you know, I talked about honor, and we say we honor each other, but we don't really know how. And these guys, it is so messy having to work through that and honor people and get through the hard things in relationship. But when you do, then that anointing gets passed through those relationships. And you... Everybody's heard about what's going on in Reading, right? There's healings. There's people being raised from the dead. There's just awesome stuff going on. And it's not the only place that's happening. That happens all over the world. It happens in places where the relationships get stronger and we learn how to pass it on between people and across generations in a new and a different way. And so I know that the Lord is teaching us how to pass on to our sons and daughters and generations after, at least twice as much as what we're doing. And if the generation after us isn't doing twice as much as what we have done and what we are doing, then we've missed something. If we aren't doing twice as much as the generation that came ahead of us, then we miss something. And so what are we learning? The Lord's really moving in a new way in this area, because the body needs to be stronger. The body needs to learn to pass it on. The body needs to learn to build on what went before us. We can't afford not to see what God wants to show us. We can't afford not to see it, not to hook up the TV and let Him speak to us in pictures. Let Him speak to us in dreams. Let Him speak to us through His Word. Let Him speak to us through the people around us. We can't afford not to learn how to do that, because there's a lot at stake, isn't there? The next generation's at stake. This world is at stake. A lot is at stake. And so we look at Elijah and Elisha. Aren't they cool? I just love studying Elijah and Elisha, because Elijah was a mighty man of God. I mean, he slew the prophets of Baal, and he did amazing things. But he passed on twice the anointing to the guy who came after him. Double portion. They had to learn to do that together. Elijah and Elisha had to learn how to do that together. Because, you know, Elijah, when he slew the prophets of Baal, he already had a mentor. And you can go into Scripture and look, a mentoree. You can go look that up for yourself. I won't get into that this morning, but he already had somebody he was mentoring. He was already raising somebody up. And then the big showdown happened with the prophets of Baal, and he called down fire from heaven, and the fire from heaven took his sacrifice and not the prophets of Baal. And then he ended up killing all these prophets, and then he was scared because Jezebel was going to come after him, right? Then he gets scared, and he gets depressed, and he goes and he feels sorry for himself, and he wants to die. And at that point, he kind of disconnected from the guy he was mentoring. Because sometimes when we're walking through life, it gets really hard. And even after the biggest victories, we lose heart. It even happened to the best prophets. And we sometimes disconnect in those relationships that were meant to be the people that we pass on to. We disconnect and we mess up. But it's never the end with the Lord. And so the Lord got Elisha back on his feet, Elijah back on his feet, got him moving forward, and then he mentored Elisha, right? And when it came time, and you know, Elijah was not a nice, soft, fuzzy, warm guy. I'm sure he was very hard to be around. So Elisha had to learn to honor Elijah. But Elijah had to learn to allow Elisha to step up into what God had for him as well. They had to learn to do this together. But when it came time, you know, they're walking along and it came time for the Lord to bring Elijah up and raise him up. We know the story of him going up in the whirlwind. Elisha chose to stay with him. They walked for probably between 15 and 25 miles, the two of them. So this guy's getting ready to be taken up to heaven. He's still walking 15 miles. And as they went along, different companies of prophets said to Elisha, you know, your mentor is just about done. you could leave him now, basically. God's going to take him up. You could be done with him. He said, no, I'm hanging with him. And Elijah even said, you can go. You don't need to stay with me. And he said, no, I'm hanging with you. And so there can be times when somebody seems almost washed up and done and their time's almost over. And it might seem in the world's eyes like it's logical to disconnect from them. But the Lord says, no, I want you to learn to honor. I want you to learn to hang in there with them. And then to Elijah, he needed to learn to release what he had to the next generation. And it happened, and it worked. And then I love what happened with Elisha and all the things he did. It's just cool. We can talk about all the miracles. But at one point, he's in trouble. I mean, he's been causing havoc, right? He's been going into the king's chambers, and he's been seeing things he shouldn't see, and everybody's scared of him in the enemy's army, and they send people after him to take him out. You know, the enemy does that. He sends people after you to take you out, or spiritual things after you to take you out and stop you in your tracks. The enemy does that. That happens. But when you've got God with you, you don't need to be afraid. So how do we do that? Well, Elisha was back in his hut, and his servant went out one morning and saw this whole army of warriors there to take them out. Like, okay, this is it. We're done. We're in trouble. Do you ever feel like that? Like, I think it's done. I think the ministry's over. When the Lord told Gary and I to leave the church I was at, Hosanna, I really didn't know what we were doing next. I knew what we'd do whatever God wanted us to do, and I was ready to put everything on the shelf, say, we're done. We're done with ministry. That's okay. I mean, we're not done with the Lord, but we're done with ministering. You have to be ready to be done. But we weren't done. And Elisha and his servant weren't done either. And so Elisha went out there and he said, yeah, Lord, would you open up his eyes so he can see the whole picture? Would you open up his eyes so he can see the whole picture? See, when we allow the Lord to open up our eyes and we can see the whole picture, things look differently. And it's not so scary, is it? But if we don't see the whole picture, if we only see what the world sees, if we only see what we can see in the natural, then it's pretty scary. But when we allow the Lord to open up our eyes, to open up our spiritual eyes, to plug in and hook up our big screen TV set, we can see what he's saying. We can agree with him, and it's not so scary. It can still be hard, but it's sure not so scary. And not only after that, but do you know that Elisha was sitting there, and these soldiers who came to take him out came up to him, and he actually went up to them and said, you know that guy you're looking for? Which was him. But he said, you know that guy you're looking for? He went that way. And all the soldiers left. I mean, you can even go face your enemy and redirect your enemy. We need to look at things the way God sees them. But we can't do that without God's help. But the Lord has given us the mind of Christ. And when we partner with the generation before us and release to the generation after us, we get a double portion. It's available to us. We're learning to trust him more than we understand him. And isn't that a scary place to be? Do you trust God more than you understand God? When the Lord told Gary to go ahead and step out of that job, and things weren't looking like they were lining up, we had to choose. Do we trust God more than we understand him? This makes no sense. And yeah, we knew God at a certain level, but there's always more with him. So he's teaching us to trust him, trust his goodness, trust his faithfulness at a deeper level. And he's teaching each of you that as well. So how will you do that? You can't do that without plugging in your TV, without learning how to use it, without learning how to turn off the wrong channels and focus on the right ones. And you know, you guys are right at the Mississippi River. How many times have you heard prophecies, I mean, from decades ago even, about revival's going to start at the head of the Madras of the Mississippi, right? And go right down through the U.S. and the whole nation's going to be changed, right? All right, God said this over and over and over, yet it's not yet happening, is it? And I'm wondering if things like that are not happening because, yes, God's saying it, but we don't know how to pass it on. And not because we're bad people, we just haven't learned how. We haven't gotten what we need in ourselves to have the gumption to bless the generation before us and honor the generation after us without being scared there's going to be enough for ourselves, like those crabs in the crab traps. And I know that in my head, but I tell you what, it gets kind of scary sometimes because I look at all these really young adults that are anointed and having doors open for them, and there's always that twinge in me, and is it me or is it the enemy? I think that's yes and, saying you may be done. There may not be a place for you. Well, that's not how God works. He takes every willing body and puts them to work. But the fear that there may not be a place for me may be stopping me from passing on to the next generation and learn and gleaning from the generation before me. I've been blessed to get to know a couple called Rick and Cynthia Hayes, who over in the UK, they live in Scotland. Cynthia's American and Rick is Scottish. And they have a thing that they organized called the Clan Gathering with a C. If you look that up in the internet and you put K, you don't want that stuff. But this is the Clan Gathering, as in Scottish clans, right? And it's been an amazing thing where people were coming together. Things were moving. It's been going on since the late 80s. But a few years ago, some of the crab trap stuff started to happen within that ministry. And things got really nasty. And things kind of came apart. And I was talking to them about a couple years ago, and he said, I just got to give you guys a testimony. It's probably 2 years ago, I think. Maybe not even that. Got to give you guys a testimony of what's happened. He said, because, you know, my heart was broken over all that had happened. And he actually stepped out of that for a while with the clan gatherings because it was so hard. You know, when we step out and the people we love the most are the ones that hurt us the most, right? That can be very, very hard. And that's what happened to him. And he said, the most heartbreaking thing was my best friend was in that, and it ruined our friendship. It broke apart our friendship. And he was grieving over that. He said, I just miss my friend. I miss my friend who knows how to seek the Lord with me. I miss my friend who laughs with me over ridiculous things. You know, I miss my friend who's a mighty man of God who walks next to me. And so he said, you know, I was listening to what Bill Johnson was talking about, and they talked about things coming from heaven where they show up for people when they lose them. Have you guys heard those sermons at all? I don't remember what they all were, but there's like a knife, and I don't know if it was Bobby Connor said, I want my knife back. I want my knife back. And the knife shows up like in his hotel room. And there's other people then that took that testimony and ran with it. I want this back, and things were coming back. People were finding ridiculous things because the Lord cares, and he's teaching us how to do that. Well, so Rick said, you know, I took that testimony, and I said, all right, Jesus, I want my friend back. I lost my friend. My friend was stolen, and I want my friend back. And I know you're the one that can bring him back. And within a couple days, his friend contacted him and repented to him, and Rick repented, and they have reunited as friends. So as I'm talking about these things, I'm wondering, what in your life has the enemy kind of brought you to a wall with? Where have you allowed fear and insecurity or doubt or frustration or whatever to get in the way of receiving from the generation before you or passing on to the next generation? Where has that happened for you? Because all we have to do is take that to the Lord, and he will restore what the enemy has taken. He'll restore what the locust has eaten, right? He will restore. And so now is a time for us to step deeper into hearing from the Lord, into seeing him supernaturally. It's available to us. Now is a time to learn how to do relationship in a new way. You guys do relationship great, I'm sure, but there's more. And who are the men and women who've been before you in your life that you need to glean from and maybe restore that connection with? And how has the Lord put people in the next generation after you that you're a little bit afraid to let them step up too much because they might get in the way? Who do you need to get out of the way and let them step up? And even deal with that fear in yourself that what if there's not a place for me? Because there always will be. It just might look different than what it looked like last season, but it will be good. With God, there's always more. And with God, there's always increase. And so what I'd like to do is I'm going to pray for you, and then Marcy's going to come forward, and we're going to do some ministry. But let me pray for you first. Would you just shut your eyes for a second. Lord, I thank you that there is so much power and presence in the people in this room that Elk River could explode with new and fresh things. Even though there's great things going on here, there's so much more. But Lord, I pray that you would rewire their TV if it needs to be rewired, that you would plug them in to the source of the Lord's power if it needs to be plugged in a new way, that you would recalibrate them so they can only see your channel, Lord, that you would open them up to the things of you. And Lord, we repent for any ways we haven't known how to steward and pass on with increase what went before us and what's coming after us. Lord, we want to learn to carry more of you. We want to learn to release to this world more of your presence and your peace and your power. So show us, Lord, and teach us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, but we most of all say, Lord, would you use us to change this world? In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, well, I just want to thank Christy and her husband, Gary, for coming and continuing to minister. I think, I know that what the Lord has spoken through Christy, and will continue to minister through both of them, and our ministry teams up here will be vital to whoever is just feeling that draw and that pull. I know that as she was speaking, I know that I could It just witnessed with me several points that she shared. So I just, when you go from here today, I just trust the Lord to continue to stir within you what he desires to, and that we would be open to that, the very instruments and tools that he's bringing into our lives, the revelation, the truths, dispelling the lies, that he would bring us into a greater place of walking as sons and daughters in his kingdom and being those agents in his kingdom. So let's just pray and close the service. Father, we just thank you for the word that you've brought indeed. And Lord, I just ask, Father, that you would just continue to sow that word into our hearts, into our spirits, Father, in the weeks, months, years to come, Father, that we would be all that you've called us to be, Father, and that you would continue to bring the healing, Father, the deliverance, the revelation, the truths, Father, and most of all, your love, Father, to continue to be all that you've called us to be, Father. And we thank you in Jesus' name.